Tehillim. Now, all of the Kapitulach in the first Sefer were written by David HaMelech. But you may or may not recall that we did once mention that there are a total of 10 people who wrote Tehillim. Adam Rishon, Malkei Tzedek, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, David, Shlomo, Asaph, and the three sons of Korach. Now, those of you who may remember, Korach did not go down as a great guy in Chumash. He led a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the earth swallowed him. However, the three sons of Korach, partway through the rebellion, did teshuvah. And when they fell into the earth, the three of them were trapped on a ledge. They didn't fall all the way to Gehenna, but rather they landed on a ledge. They were stuck on that ledge for quite some time before they were able to climb back out. The three of them were granted nevuah, prophecy, and they prophesied about future exile in Golus of Klal Yisrael for their averus. And while they were on that ledge is when, according to Rashi, they wrote the Kapitulach. Eight Kapitulach. The next eight Kapitulach are all Livnei Korach, from the sons of Korach. Now, what? This is, yes. This is Mem Beis. Actually, I can just give you the page and you can see it. Sorry. So the next, from now until Mem Tes, are all from Livnei Korach. Now, the truth is that the Radak has a slightly different explanation of Livnei Korach, saying that David HaMelech, through Ruach HaKadosh, wrote this kapitel expressing the sentiments of the Bnei Korach, and then gave it to the Levim to sing, who were Bnei Korach. And what that means is that Shmuel HaNavi was descended from Korach, and the first Levim that formed the core choir in the Beis HaMikdash were all grandchildren of Shmuel HaNavi, and therefore they were also descended from Korach. So according to the Radak, while it's the ideas of the Bnei Korach, it was written by David HaMelech and given to the current Bnei Korach to sing. Right, so these are from the Bnei Korach, and the Bnei Korach, remember, got caught up in this rebellion, their father's rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and were very involved in it and true believers in the rebellion, until they realized the error of their ways and did teshuvah. So they had very strong emotions about loyalty to the Torah, and we're going to see that from the Kapitulach from the Bnei Korach. Any questions so far? Let's start off. Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph says, Lamanatseach, for the conductor, Maskil Livnei Korach, a maskil by the sons of Korach. So a maskil means an instruction for all to hear. A maskil from the root of seichel, sense. A maskil means something for everyone to hear. So this is for the conductor to conduct the Levim with, and it's a maskil by the Bnei Korach. Now the Bnei Korach, or David HaMelech, the name of the Bnei Korach, says, Ka'ayil ta'arog alafike mayim, as the deer, and really the translation of an ayil is a heart, H-A-R-T, Ka'ayil ta'arog alafike mayim, like the deer longs for the stream of water, kein nafshi ta'arog elecha elukim. So my soul longs for you, Hashem. Now, why is an ayil longs for the water as an expression of how much we long for Hashem? Certainly, lots of animals drink water. In fact, all animals drink water. Why particularly an ayil? So Chazal say the ayil is the kindest of all animals, and the gentlest of all animals, that it not only finds water for itself, but from other animals as well. And there are a lot of midrashim about the ayil and why the ayil. So for example, one midrash says that an ayil, unique amongst all animals, has a birth canal that is too narrow to give birth. And what happens when the isle gives birth is that Hashem makes a nace, and the snake bites the isle, causing the isle extreme pain and extending the birth canal enough for it to give birth. So just as this gentle animal who takes care of others and who can barely take care of itself, yet can barely take care of itself, longs for a cool drop of water from the brook, that's how much my soul longs for Hashem. Now the isle finds water for others, and the Alshich says, how is that? Why is that a good metaphor for us seeking Hashem? So the isle finds water for others, big deal. Does that mean that it's thirstier? But the Alshich says something very interesting. He says, you know what it means? It means that we seek Hashem not just for us, but for all mankind. We don't seek Hashem in order for us only to have the glory of knowing Hashem. By Yaimahu, what? His name will be one. One not just for the Jews, but one for all mankind. So like the isle who gathers and tries to get water for all the other animals, so too we long for Hashem, not just on our own behalf, but on behalf of all of mankind. So the Namei Korach comments, Esama nafshi leloki, my soul thirsts for Hashem, lekeil chai, the living God. Masai avo, when will I come, ve'ereha p'nei elokim, and appear before Hashem. So my soul thirsts for Hashem. So thirst is more intense than hunger. Right? A person can go longer without eating than they can without drinking. People who are on fasts, hunger fast, whatever, drink water. So thirsting is a much more intensive emotion. And what does it mean, the living God? We thirst for the living God? So the Baal Tehillim is comparing that with what our people around us thirst for. They thirst for idols. Idols are just big clumps of wood that are cut out into various shapes. So we search for the living God, L'keil Chai. And when will I arrive before Hashem is referring to Aliyah or Regel to Yerushalayim. So three times a year, all the B'nai Yisrael had to appear in Yerushalayim for the three Yomim Tovim, Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos, correct? For Aliyah or Regel to Yerushalayim. It's hard for us to imagine the scene of being Ole Regel. The entire Jewish nation walking from wherever they were to Yerushalayim is a sight that we have a hard time imagining. All of the guard posts left undefended, all of the army forts left open, all of the cities left uninhabited. And during that entire time, nothing ever happened. No enemy ever attacked. Nobody ever had their property stolen. Nothing ever happened while Klal Yisrael was being Ayla L'Rego. That was Hashem's protection. The entire nation is gone. Everybody's on vacation, so to speak. How hard would it be for the Syrians to figure this out? So, you know, three times a year, these Meshuggah Jews, they leave everything. We could march. They wouldn't even know we were there until we got to Yerushalayim. They don't even have any guards left. No nation ever attacked while we were being Ayla L'Rego. At the entire nation, millions and millions of people walking to Yerushalayim, staying each night and by whoever's house they happen to be in. And that night, it's a sight and a scene and an idea and an emotion that we have a hard time understanding. It's just one facet of the Beis Hamikdash that we don't have today, but it's one facet that is to contemplate is almost. You can't really contemplate it. I mean, imagine the entire city of Chicago walking somewhere together. You can't imagine it. But then the entire city of Chicago decided to walk to Kankakee. In perfect harmony and unity. Multiply that by a few times bigger. Include people, some people coming in from Wisconsin, some people trickling in from Indiana. You got the guys from Michigan who really are coming far away, not to mention the people from Iowa that are coming in. Right? And they're all converging on one place. All those millions of people. So says the B'nai Karach, Messiah Vover Penelkim, when will I come and appear before Hashem? Haisali Dimasi Lechem Yomam V'layla. They were for me, my tears, sustenance day and night. Ve'emor Eli Kol Hayom Ayei Elokecha. When my foes say to me all day long, where is your God? No taunt, nothing in Gullis ever hurt more Klal Yisrael than when the Goyim would say, Ayei Elokecha, where is your God now? For thousands of years, and our current Gullis and before that, that's always been the taunt of the Goyim. Oh yeah? Ayei Elokecha. When the Nazis would kill children, they would say, Ayei Elokecha. The nations of the world would say, oh, well, Ayei Elokecha. Ouch. That hurts. It causes tears. The tears were my sustenance, say the B'nai Karach. Eile Ezkara, these do I recall, v'eshbacha alai nafshi, and pour out my plight, my soul. Ki evor basach, so how I passed with the multitudes, adedim ad beis Elokim, proceeding up to them, to the house of Hashem, v'kol rina v'sayda hamon chogeg, with joy and thanksgiving, and a multitude that celebrate. Let's see what all this means here. These do I recall. All of the exiles. The Eshbecha alai nafshi, and I pour out my plight on my soul. For I remember how I passed with the throng. The B'nai Karach are with Nevuah talking about Klal Yisrael and Galus. We remember how we passed with the throng, preceding all of these people up to the Beis Hashem on being Eile Regel. The Kol Rina with a song of joy and thanksgiving, Hamon Chogeg. Now what they used to do is they used to walk quietly, and as they got closer to Yerushalayim, they would burst into almost spontaneous song. And there would be hundreds of thousands of people singing as they approached Yerushalayim. And the closer they got to Yerushalayim, the louder the song would be. And Hamon Chogeg, with a multitude that celebrates. Now, Chazal tells us that there's another meaning of Hamon Chogeg, with a multitude that's celebrating. We already said that Klal Yisrael is going up to Beis Hashem, should say with Rina, Vesoda, and thanksgiving, V'chogeg, and celebration. But instead it says with a multitude of that celebrated. Why all of a sudden are we sticking in here this word multitude? Well, there was no multitude before with our Kol Rina V'soda. So Chazal say that the B'nai Karach are also alluding to when we came back from Galus Bavel and saw the second base of Mikdash. The Hamon, the most of the people who didn't remember the first base of Mikdash, Chogeg, they celebrate. But the Alter Yidden, the old people who remembered the first base of Mikdash, they didn't celebrate, they cried. But they saw that the second base of Mikdash was nothing like the first base of Mikdash. The second base of Mikdash, and in fact the whole second commonwealth, if you will, was far more smaller and less, less glorious than the first base of Mikdash. The first base of Mikdash had open Nisim day and night. The second base of Mikdash was missing many of those things. It was a small structure compared to the first base of Mikdash. So the Hamon were a Chogeg. Most of the people were very happy. But the older people saw that, you know what, you can't go back again. Our Averus, we did these Averus and we lost our first base of Mikdash, and now we're happy because Hashem gave us the base of Mikdash yet, but there's still a little left. There's still a little lacking. If we hadn't done those Averos, we would have never lost the first base of Mikdash. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why is my soul downcast? V'tehamilai, and disturbed on my account. Hochili lelokim, hope to Hashem, ki od edena Yeshua's ponav, for yet I will thank him for the salvations of his appearance, of his countenance. So the B'nai Korach are saying, why are you down? So you know what? The first Beis HaMikdash wasn't as great. Why are you disturbed? You have to hochili lelukim. You have to be always turning your hope to Hashem. Ki odo dena Yeshua's panav. And thank you for the salvation. So the Vedei Kaira, when the earth opened, they thought they were going to Gehenna with their father. Yet, on the way down, literally on the way to Gehenna, X percentage of the way, they were caught on a ledge. We talked before about the fact that you never give up. The B'nai Korach, I mean, if someone said to me, your sins are so terrible, I'm opening up the earth and you're going straight to Gehenna, and the earth opened up and I was falling, I'd be real close to giving up. Right now, I'm falling towards Gehenna, I see and feel the fires of Gehenna, and Hashem told me this was going to happen, I think, but say the B'nai Korach, Chochila L'Elokim, you should be hoping to Hashem, because He could still save you. Elokai, my Hashem, Olai Nafshi Tishtochach. My soul, my plight and my soul is downcast. Alkein is Korcha Me'eretz Yarden, because I remember you from the Yarden, from Jordan. V'chermoni mehar mitzar, and from the mountain of Hermon, and from the mount of Mitzar. Now it's downcast. It says, my soul is downcast. My soul is downcast because I long to return to Eretz Yisrael. But it says, Elokai, go back to Breeze, look at this carefully. Elokai, my Hashem, alai nafshi tishtochach, my soul is downcast. For I want to return to Eretz Yisrael. Elokai means my Hashem, my God. It's a personal form. So Chazal tell us that whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, Gemara says in Kisubis, is like they have no God. So say the B'nai Kairach, I want, my soul is downcast. You know why? Because I want Elokai, I want my God. I want to be in Eretz Yisrael where I can say, Hashem is Elokai. Hashem is my God in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tell us that Elokai is my God, and a person who is not in Eretz Yisrael, it's like they have no God. So say the B'nai Kairach, Alai Nafshi Toch, I'm downcast because I want to be Elokai. I want to be in Eretz Yisrael. And I remember you from the land of Jordan, and from Mount Hermon, and from Mount Mitzar. So I remember you from the land of Jordan. When we were in Jordan, we were unworthy, yet you let us cross into Eretz Yisrael. So why can't you do that again, Hashem? When we were in the Yarden and we weren't worthy, you brought us over. Or according to the Radak, it means that we were in the Yarden and you helped us get into Eretz Yisrael to be Ole L'Regel. But either way, we were in the Yarden and we didn't really deserve it, and you helped us bring over. So I want to be back in Eretz Yisrael where I can be Elokai. You did it for us once, Hashem. Do it for us again. From Mount Hermon, now the Hermonim is in the north of Israel. Today it would be right around like the border of Syria and Lebanon. All the way to Har Mitzar. Now, Har Mitzar is a name for Har Sinai. So all the way to Har Sinai, all the way from Hermonim in the north, all the way down to Har Sinai and the desert, you brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Say the V'nei Karach, bring us to Eretz Yisrael now, so that we can say Elokai once again. Tahom el Tahom, watery to watery, water to water, kore lekol tzinorecha, calls out to the roar of all of your rivers, kol mishborecha vegalecha alai avaru, all of your breakers and your waves have swept over me. So water, tahom el tahom means, from a tahom is a like a watery expanse of nothingness. So tahom el tahom means from one watery expanse to the next, meaning from one misfortune to the next, that in Gullus, it's Tahom el Tahom, say the B'nai Karach. That we go from one misfortune to the next. It's not enough that we're in Tahom, Hashem, it's that we're Tahom el Tahom. We keep going from one misfortune to the next. And your breakers and your waves have swept over me. Only you, Hashem, have stopped us from plunging to the very depths of the Tahom. Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chazdai, and the day Hashem will command in His Chesed, Uvalayla Shiro Ami, and even by night His resting place will be with me, Tefila Lekel Chayoi, and a prayer to Hashem of my life. So, Yomam Yitzava Hashem Chazdai, in the day Hashem will command His loving kindness, but by light His resting place is with me. By night is referring to Gullus. Gullus is always referred to as the night. His resting place is with me. So Hashem is with us in Gullus. But we're waiting for in His chesed when He'll command the day to break. And when it says, Tefila Lekel Chayai, a prayer to Hashem of my life, it's a tefila that my life will be long enough to see this. So the night is like Gullus, and Hashem is with us in Gullus. And in the day, Hashem will command that Gullus be over, and that will be like daybreak. And the tefillah to Hashem is Chayyim, all my life, I want to live long enough in order to see the coming of Mashiach, and in order to see the end of Gullus. So, Lekeil Chay, to the God of my life, I want to live to see this. Goes on to say, Omara Lekeil Sali, I will say to Hashem, my rock, Lama Shikachtani, why have you forgotten me? Lama Koder Eilech Belachetz Oyev, why in despair must I walk under the oppression of my enemies? So obviously Hashem hasn't forgotten us. Forgotten is a metaphor that it seems to us like Hashem has forgotten us because Gullus has gone on for so very long. So it seems to us like Hashem has forgotten us. Why has Hashem forgotten us? Beretzach batzmoisai, and with a dagger in my bones, cherpuri tzorai, my tormentors, my enemies, have taunted me. Be'amram kelai kol hayom, when they say to me all day, ayei elokecha. Again, the pain of being taunted by the goyim, by the nations of the world, ayei elokecha. We long for the day when Hashem will be apparent to all of the nations. Matish tochachi nafshi, why my soul is my soul downcast? Uma, and why are you disturbed on my account? Hochil lelokim, hope to Hashem. Ki oid, for yet, odena Yeshua's panai velokai, I shall thank Him for the salvations of my countenance, and because He is my God. So don't be downcast. Don't be disturbed. Continue, Hochil lelokim. Like David HaMelech told us before, to hope and hope, and never to give up hoping. The whole idea of hoping and waiting for Mashiach is often a difficult one for us in these times. How many of us really live our lives and structure everything we do around the idea that Mashiach could come at any moment? We build houses, we build magnificent buildings, we make long-term, quote-unquote, plans, and if Mashiach comes, well, okay, we'll work that into our plans somehow. So how many people do we know? How many people? There are people, but how many people really live and are really a Mashiach Yid? A Yid who really lives for the coming of Mashiach. The challenge, say the B'nai Karach, is Chochil Elokim, to be hoping to Hashem for deliverance, when one of the questions that will be asked in the world to come, besides the famous two questions of were you Kaveya Itim for learning Torah, and did you do your business dealings faithfully to Hashem, is did you long for Mashiach? Those are the three questions. Did you learn? on a regular basis? Did you do your business dealings with your tefillin on, so to speak? And did you long for Mashiach? What does it mean to long? Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
How late?
Go ahead.
You're going to answer my question.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking because if you ask any Jewish person, particularly religious Jewish person, if they long for Mashiach, I mean, of course they're going to say, well, of course I long for Mashiach. Mm-hmm. But
what does that mean? Do they really long for Mashiach? Or have they believe, there's a difference between believing that Mashiach will come and longing for Mashiach. Now sometimes longing for Mashiach can take terrible, terrible twisted turns. And we've seen that in thousands of years of history. Everything from Christianity to Shabbatai Tzvi, but there's a difference between believing Mashiach will come. Believing Mashiach, the Gemara doesn't say you're going to ask, do you believe Mashiach will come? Of course you believe Mashiach will come. You're a good Jew. You believe all the Anim Amins, right? You believe that Mashiach is going to come, but did you long for Mashiach? Did you get up in the morning and hope that Mashiach comes today? Or did you get up in the morning and if Mashiach comes, that'll be fine. Right after I finish this meeting, I can get in touch with Al-Al and see if there's any spaces available. Let me just return this phone call first. You get up in the morning, and do you hope and long for Mashiach? And do your actions reflect that? Or do you just feel that Mashiach is something that's going to come, and that's one of the principles we believe in, and when it comes, it'll come? There's a difference. So the B'nai Korach are talking about Hochilul Elokim, hoping to Hashem that yet salvations will come, that Gullus will end. Do we long for an end to Gullus? If you ask people, they would certainly say they do. But the construction companies might have a different answer. People have construction contracts to build houses 10 years from now. When Mashiach comes, the shuls will be uprooted and be taken back there to Israel. But we build and we live in Gullus. Truth is, America's a very gashmiistically successful Gullus. We are only minimally oppressed. We have freedom to strive and achieve for whatever financial success we want to have. We're not limited by the government to certain jobs. And the Jewish community in America has been pretty successful. We have whole organizations that work with petitioning the government to make our lives better. The government gives money to feed our poor, and the government gives money to our yeshivas. That's a pretty good Gullus, but it's still Gullus.
It's tummy.
It's still Gullus. And you know what the nations of the world are still saying? Ayei Elokecha, where is your Hashem? Where is your God? We heard this talk about your country and your temple and your this and that. You know what? We blow up your people all the time. Ayei Elokecha, where is your Hashem? So it could be that the B'nai Korach are talking to us as well as people of times in difficult Gullus. Hochilo l'Elokim, hope to Hashem for salvation and an end to Gullus. And l'keil chayai, that it should be in my lifetime, that I want to live to see the glory of Mashiach coming, that the nations can no more say, Ayei Elokecha. Shem echad ishmoy echad. That's what the B'nai Korach are talking about. The B'nai Korach saw that, only they saw it too late. The B'nai Korach did not do teshuv, did not originally stand up for the tyrant. Now, once they've done teshuva, they feel an obligation to share what their nevuah shows them. Hashem gave them a gift. He said, look at this nevuah. You know what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? Look at the gullus that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. There's a famous saying that if the Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the Goy will make Havdalah. I don't know exactly where that saying comes from, and there's some disagreement as to where exactly it comes from and who said it. So I'm not going to get into the origin of it. But if the Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the guy will make Havdalah. You know what? This is a nice Golus we have here. So we daven every day to Hashem, please take us home from Golus. And we really, 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 with all of our heart and soul, Kochil Elohim, hoping to Hashem. Or is the Ayei Elokecha somewhat muted in our generation? Ayei Elokecha comes up, but sometimes it's quiet for a while. So the B'nai Korach are trying to tell us that we should be longing to be brought back home. And not just brought back home, but brought back home in all of our splendor, with the base of Mikdash and with Melech Mamashiach. That's what every Jew should be, a Mashiach here. There shouldn't be one or two people that you could think of that really long for Mashiach. But the B'nai Korach are saying everybody has to long for Mashiach L'keach Yoy, in your lifetime. That only with that will we be successful and merit to have the Geula in a speedy manner. So these 12 Pesukim, the B'nai Korach have 7 more Kapitalach to go. But these 12 Pesukim are a good introduction to the Kapitalach from the B'nai Korach. And have a message here that's really appropriate for us in our generation. You know, it's not that hard to hope for Golus when the goy's got a stick. I mean, to hope for the Geula for some of that when the goy's got a stick in his hand and he's beating you over the head. This is a tough challenge here in our day to be Chochil El Elokim, to hope for an end to Golus and for a speedy redemption. But that's the challenge that the B'nai Korach have laid before us. Any questions?